All right, Michael, you go first. They're going to give a little testimony here today. How many like testimonies?
Perfect. It's working. So a couple weeks ago on a Monday morning, Florida State sends an email out. Tuition's due Friday. I'm like, well, I don't have it. So the week goes by, and I pray a little bit. And throughout the week, I was fasting during lunch and saying, God, like, I don't have $5,000. But I need to, I know you want me to finish grad school, so it's in your hands. And then Friday morning, I'm sitting at work, and they send me another email, and they're like, you're going to be charged a late fee and the $5,000. And I said, I don't have that, God, still at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about 4 p.m., I leave at 5, and about 4 o'clock, I get an email, and it's from a worker over at the College of Education. She's like, hey, you got a private donor here at Florida State is going to give you $10,000. Yeah. And it's going to pay for your tuition this semester and next semester. And yeah. And this Saturday.
You call that a tomahawk chalk, right?
Yeah, I did. I was very, very, I had to leave work early. I was extremely excited. And I get to meet the man that gave me that had already wrote the check for me this Saturday. So I've never met him in my entire life. I didn't even know who he was until I read his bio after they sent me his information, and I wrote him a thank you letter. But yeah, I mean,
God is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Michael.
Go for it.
Okay, so my testimony is smaller than that. But that's okay. But a couple of weeks ago, so if this sounds silly after $10,000, it's not my fault. It's his fault. A couple of weeks ago, I was cooking something and our microwave died. And I was like, made this sound like, brr. And then it was over. It was like the grave. And so I was like,
And with a mom with five children, yes, love the microwave.
I have five kids.
Yes.
We cook every meal at home. We don't go out to eat very often. We use it all the time. And of course, you know what? You can survive without a microwave. It's not like we were going to die or starve. But it was pretty inconvenient and made a lot more dishes. And so we'd been a couple of weeks without a microwave. And we were going to be able to replace it at some point. But, you know, it was... But we came home from something this week, and there was this big box on our porch. And we were all like, what is that? And the kids are like, we got something in the mail. And I was like, it's gigantic. And I went up, and I tried to pick it up, and it was really heavy. And we dragged it inside, and somebody bought us a microwave and had it shipped to our house. And it was a surprise. It said, it was just like there was no recipient. Or, I mean, we were the recipient. There was no sender information. It was just a gift box. It was brand new. They had ordered it from a store and had it shipped to us. And it was such a blessing. Just a little thing, but so nice. And the kids were like, yay, just in time for lunch.
Praise God. Go ahead, Daniel. Amen. How many know microwaves is just as good as $10,000 someday?
Amen. All right, so for the last 6 months, my life has been like a whole hurricane. Cat 5 storm, destroying everything. But hey, you know what? In the middle of the storm, you find out how strong the house is. And I found out how strong God was through the last 6 months of my life. So 6 months ago, as my boss sat me in her office and she said, Daniel, you're floundering. You need to figure out where you're doing, where you're going and all that.
Turn him up, please.
And I was like, oh, I'll do this.
Thank you.
And I was like, oh, no, this is not good to hear from your boss. But so 6 months ago, I applied to the College of Social Work to get my master's in social work, which is the number one program in the state, 30% chance of getting in. I was not a social work background, but hey, you know what? God knew that. I got in, right? So now I'm in class for social work, but I work at the College of Law, and I deal with computers all day and people, but mostly like on programs and stuff. And so then I went back into my boss's office, and I was like, hey, I think I'm going to apply for this position to be a counselor on main campus. I don't have a background in counseling. I'm going to school for counseling, and this position said master's highly preferred. And I was like, well, I'm in my master's. I wonder if they'll just waive that real quick for me because I really want this job. And I was freaking out. I applied for it literally the day of the job closing. I applied for it, that job. And they called me and they're like, hey, would you like to come in for an interview? And I was like, sure, perfect. I'll go in for the interview. And after that first interview, I was like, I got it. And then they're like, okay, well, you have another round of interviews if you get selected. After the second round of interviews, I got selected. I went to the second round of interviews. And after the second round of interviews, I was like, dang it, I did not get the job. They were asking me about, like, oh, where did you finish your master's? And I was like, well, actually, I'm in my master's right now. Haven't finished it, so. And it was with the Dean of Undergraduate Studies and the Associate Dean of Undergraduate Studies and all these really important people. I was freaking out. And I come back a little disappointed and a little discouraged. And I was like, you know what, God, like, you know the situation. You know where I'm trying to go. You'll make the path if it's for me. Friday afternoon, I get a phone call from the advising office of Main Campus for the college life coaching. And they said, hey, Daniel, we would be excited if you would join our staff to be a college life coach.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it beautiful when God provides? And sometimes you just need a little encouragement. God is a provider. From the little to the big, he takes care of his children. I'm glad to be his child. Aren't you? Glory to God. Let me tell you a story. A friend of mine, I told it Wednesday night. If you're here Wednesday night, forgive me. I'm going to tell it again. He pastors a church in Perry last Sunday. A guy comes up to him and says, hey, pastor, I want to be baptized. He gave his heart a couple weeks ago. Okay, when you want to go? Today. You want to be that? Yeah, I want to be. And I know where I want to go because it's where I go fishing out past in the middle of Osceola Reservation, and can you come and baptize me? Sure, I can come. I'm going to give you the abbreviated version here. So it's 29 miles of dirt roads back past Goose Pasture. You all know where that is? Yeah. And he goes there, and the guy has 35 members of his family there to watch him give. He baptizes him, and as he's coming up out of the water, a boat comes around the corner. And the guy says, hey, Pastor David. Now think about that for a moment. You're 39 miles in the middle of nowhere, and someone says, hey, Pastor David. I was trying to catch some fish. I ain't caught any fish. I've been looking for fish, and I know why I hadn't caught any fish. Now when I see what you're doing, I want to be baptized. Well, why do you want to be baptized? Says, well, you know, 2 years ago, the Lord told me to give my heart to the Lord, but I just didn't do it because I love my cold beers. And I didn't want to give up my cold beers. Now, David, my pastor friend, said, now, I'm country. This guy is three times more country than me. That's why I did what I did with them cold beers. He said, about a month ago, I surrendered everything to God, and I need you to baptize me today. Pastor David said, if you'll tell these people that are gathered here that story, I'll baptize you. Guess what? He baptized him. Can you imagine that? Glory to God. That's God making sure you're at the right place at the right time when someone needs something. Happen and they're like, do not be surprised when God shows up with something special in your life. Amen. Amen. So speaking of something special, next Sunday, Pastor Kyle Alford will speak. All right. Some of you don't know who that is. He used to be our children's pastor, our family life pastor for 11 years, and he went to Sri Lanka, and he's home on itineration, and next Sunday he'll be here with us. So I hope all of you can make your way to do that. Another thing we're doing, a project we're working on, is Project Rescue. This is Southern Scene Magazine. You need to pick one of those up. We got a little article in there that they produced. A Project Rescue rescues ladies entrapped in trafficking. They normally start that. Their mothers and fathers in the villages of India and around the world sell them, not knowing they sell them for $300-$400, and they end up being trapped into prostitution. And Project Rescue is designed to rescue them out of there. And not only that, clothe them, feed them, and educate them so that they can move back around and be self-sustaining and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's beautiful. So we put a little ad here for people to give. And in October, we're going to have a Project Rescue Sunday. In a few weeks, we're going to have opportunity for the ladies to buy T-shirts for Project Rescue. And I want you to wear them all that day. Because here's my goal. Between now and next May, we're going to raise $50,000 to rescue little girls off the street. Do you hear me? We're going to raise $50,000 by next May. Because you know what? And that can't come out of this pool. I mean, it can't. What do you got? You got three. Just throw them. What size? Oh, just $20. She's not giving them away. You go, girl. All right. See Jenny after service. You want one, all right? Or before, after. All right. So that's some of the things going on. God bless you, and it is going to be good next in October when we do our Project Rescue Sunday. So next Sunday, what's happening? Kyle is going to be here, and his whole family will be here. All right, today we're talking about love boldly. Aren't you glad God loves us boldly? I mean, when he's able to put $10,000 in your lap. I don't know. That speaks a lot of love to me. Wouldn't it? Huh? Listen, our church motto is live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another. And I don't believe you can, if you're not living in the Spirit and you're not growing in truth, you're not going to be able to do the latter, love boldly. You know? You're just not going to do that. If you're not living in community, you know, just sharing life with brothers and sisters in God. That's the power of a small group. God has not designed us to live alone. He's not designed us to live alone. Last week, we talked about a few things. Number one, the biblical definition of love centers around the sacrifice of Christ. Love is about sacrifice. You and I will never experience love in its totality without a little skin in the game. A sacrificial gift of yourself. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about yourself. Giving of yourself. We talked about the attributes of God because the scripture says God is love. Amen. And we know love through the actions of God. And we, you and I, are to act like God in relationship to loving others. So love is action coupled with truth. Growing in truth centers around your focus on, from a godly perspective. Because if you're not careful, you begin to look at the world as from a worldly perspective, from a situation where you're the loser and not the winner. Can you know? When you know his love, you're a winner. You're an overcomer. No matter what's going on in the world, you are going to win. Amen? Yeah. And love takes the time to see. Aren't you glad God sees a broken microwave? Huh? Aren't you glad God sees a student with a need? Huh? Aren't you glad God sees someone who's floundering in direction and purpose and kind of navigates? I love God's. God sees us. Yeah. You see, the gospel message centers around love. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, John writes this. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Say that with me. We should love one another. Now look at your neighbor and say, don't make that so hard. We should love one another. Amen? Not like Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our the brothers. Excuse me. We love the brothers. Whoever does not love his brother remains in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. Lord, in the next few moments, you speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us to hear what you need us to hear. Help me, Lord, to say what we need to hear. God, we need you today. There are people in this room, Lord, who need your touch. People in this room, Lord, who need to experience your love. People in this room, Lord, need to drop some things and pick up some things, Lord. Help us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love one another. It's the foundational truth of the people of God. You see it all throughout the New Testament. It's the foundational truth of the people of God. Matter of fact, the scripture says love is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this is what happens. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, the scripture says in Romans that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of you. That means this, Paul will later describe as, you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. The Holy Spirit would come in the tabernacle of place of worship when they did special ceremonies and that kind of stuff. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the sacrifice of his son, God provides a way and makes you a temple of his presence, a temple of his Holy Spirit. And a byproduct of being a temple of the Holy Spirit, being engrafted into Jesus, is that you produce fruit in keeping with the nature of God's kingdom. Amen. So the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, a lot of theologians think this, all the other fruit flow out of the primary fruit. And the primary fruit being that of love. As anybody, you know, it's hard to maintain joy without love. I mean, you might have experienced joy and it's in a little bit, but listen, you really want to belly laugh with somebody? Do you know, I found this the other day and I thought it was interesting, and January 23rd is belly laugh day. I did what you did. I had a belly laugh over that. I have a great anticipation for that day coming up. I've missed out something. And listen, I'm going to make hay. On that, I'm going to belly laugh a few times. Might as well. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. You know what? You want to hang around people who exhibit that. You don't want someone who's impatient. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Just ask my wife. I'm just telling you. Life can be miserable when you're around people who don't possess the fruit of the Spirit. John says this. This is the message we had from the beginning. Listen to what Jesus says. John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Make that a priority in your life. Loving the people around you. John 15:12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How many of you know when God repeats some things? When God tells you over and over again, there's a couple of things involved in that. Number one, we're hard-headed. You got it? God has to say it over and over again. And when God says it over and over again, that means it's important to him. All right? And John 15, 17, this is my command. Love each other. How many know God's serious about loving? And demonstrating and acting in that love. Then he gives this illustration of Cain and Abel, which is kind of weird to me. Cain was offended by his brother's actions. And he murdered him. Now, who are they? They're Adam and Eve's children. They're us. We're Adam and Eve's children. I mean, it doesn't get too far, and you see the ramifications of sin. Sin divides. The Bible says, Jesus says this about the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's been that way from the beginning. What beginning? From Cain and Abel. From the beginning. You see, here's the funny thing. Abel did everything that was right, and his brother was offended. And his brother was offended. Can I tell you, sometimes you're going to do things that are right, and it's going to offend people. It's going to offend people. You know, love can offend. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Larry? Look at Jesus' ministry. He came loving people. He came eating with sinners, taking people, talking to people that no one else would talk to or touch for that matter. And they hated him so much they crucified him. Love doesn't exempt you from the world's wrath, but it sure does strengthen you to hold on, carry on, and overcome. Amen. We got to understand that. He was offended by his brother's gift, his sacrifice. The truth of the matter, I believe, he was offended because of his own attitude and actions toward God. You see, Cain offered something. Yeah, just give him a little vegetables and stuff like that. Just give him, he's a tiller of the ground. Just give him, it's easy to do that. There was no sacrifice in that. There was no love in that. There's a little bit of inconvenience in that. He's like, but I got to give him something. I might as well give him a. Now, I heard someone say the other day, some of us need to stop giving God our least and give him the best. Abel gave him the first fruits, the best he had. And Cain was mad. And he killed his brother. His hatred for God showed up in two places. Number one, his offering. There's something that happened when you get touched by his love. You want to give. You just look at the Bible, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat in your house. How can he eat at his house? He's a robber, he's a thief, he's a crook. How can he eat in his house? Aren't you glad Jesus eats in those kind of houses?
Yes. Yeah, amen.
And when he got done, he says, I'm going to make everything right. Zacchaeus is talking, I'm going to make everything right. Everything I've ever stolen, I'm going to give it back with interest. Why? Because he had an encounter with the love of God in Jesus. You see, it shows up in your offering. The other thing, it shows up in your treatment of your brothers and sisters. Shows up in how you treat people. So here's the contrast. Cain, he doesn't manifest his love for a brother. Matter of fact, the Bible calls him evil, a murderer. He brought death to his brother. He had unrighteous conduct. He had a hostility toward the children of God. He belongs to the world, the scripture says. Abel, on the other hand, was righteous. He had life. He loved piety and virtue. He had a righteous contact, and he was willing to fellowship. Think about it. if you knew Cain was going to take you out, would you have met your brother? No. He was free. He was fellowshipping. He was willing to meet with his brother. And his brother took his life in the middle of the field. You know, families have trouble. I mean, it's just, from the beginning, I want you to know this is Adam and Eve's children. Families have trouble. They're going to be, so how do you heal that kind of trouble? I mean, God shows up and Cain says, God says, where's your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? That's what he says. Am I my brother's keeper? And then God says, your brother's blood cries out from the ground. See, God sees it all. He sees it all. Families have trouble. When you look at Abraham, you know, Abraham had trouble with Isaac and Ishmael, and then Jacob came along, and Isaac has trouble with Jacob and Esau because his mother favors one and the daddy favors another. And then Jacob comes along, and you think he had learned from his parents what not to do. He favors some and, you know, discredits others. They sell Joseph into slavery because, you know, they have this attitude toward their brother. Families have trouble. And aren't you glad the Bible doesn't whitewash that? How do you do that in your family when you have trouble? You know what? You need to pray. The second thing you need to do is prompt action. The problem is we want to avoid the hard conversations, so we keep our mouths shut, and instead of doing something that Jesus tells us to do, we let it fester. You know what fester is? We let it fester. We let the volcano come forth. And now what? Instead of creating a healing atmosphere, there's this internal anger, rage, the volcanic activity of ugly is brooding in your heart and your soul. Jesus says this, if your brother or sister has a problem or you have a problem with them, you're to go to them. Not Facebook. You're to go to them face to face and tell them, hey, you made me mad. I wish you wouldn't have done that. Because most of the time, listen to me, most of the time people don't even know they've offended you. You know? Go to them, prompt that. You got to be candid. You just tell them how you feel, what's going on in your life. It's okay to say that. Now, if they have a problem with you telling them what you feel and how you, then the problem's not you. You understand that. It's them. Yeah. You got to clear their air. Amen? All right. Because why? Elephants in the room get big. Don't they? And then what? When the elephant gets big, nobody wants to talk about it. And everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. Everybody feels it. Everybody, shh, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Can I tell you, that's a work of the enemy. Because God comes to expose darkness with his light, his love. Amen. And then what? Once that happens and you begin to pray through that and all that kind of stuff, you take one step at a time. Because listen, sometimes problems and situations escalate over years. Don't expect them to automatically be healed. Do you understand that? Don't expect them to be automatically healed. It takes work to bring healing because it took work to bring the mess. Amen? God can do it, though. Why? Because he's a God of love. Amen? You see, Cain, he was wicked and a murderer of his brother. And you get, why in the world would he murder his brother? The scripture says his work was evil. Cain's work was evil. and his brother's works was righteous. Don't be surprised, John says, when the world hates you. Why? Because the work you do ought to be righteous, and that is contrary to the world. It's contrary to them. And then John says this bold and profound thing. It's almost hard to believe. The very defining thing that you have passed from death to life. That you're no longer in the world and you've marched into his kingdom is that you love the brothers. You love the sisters. You love the household of faith. Glory to God. I'm glad I love the church. Who's the church? We are the church. My Baptist brother down the road. I got it right. Whew. Had to dance around that one, didn't I? Listen, I love them. I got some Catholic brother. I love them. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes they disparage the truth. And then I have to love them in spite of. Amen. Experiencing his love makes you want to share that love. When you experience that love, you understand something about the character of God, the nature of God when you've been touched by his love. You know the transforming power of that love, and you want to love. Love is an expression of the transforming power of God. You know, I grew up in a church that was overcorrective. You shouldn't be wearing that. You shouldn't be doing 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 that. No, 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 no. Then I went away to Bible college, and God rescued me from my church. And I started youth pastoring this little church. And they love me. They like me. I mean, they just love me. It was amazing. I just couldn't believe they loved me. They loved me. And you know what? Their love changed my life more than anything that God has ever brought into my life. You want to change somebody? Ask God how you can love them supernaturally. Huh? Ask God how you can love them supernaturally. Because you ain't going to change them with your criticism. You're not going to correcting them all the time. You're not going to change them that way. But listen to me. Now, am I saying you should never correct? No. The Bible says correction is what? Love. But you correct people you have direct relationship with, and normally your children. Don't try to correct somebody else's children. That will get you in trouble. Don't ask me how I know. Do you hear me? Just love. And I got this youth group. They love me. They just love me. I couldn't do anything wrong. They just love me. And it changed me, man. And it gave me the courage to ask Miss Linda out. Right. Now we're talking about transformational love. Do you understand? Love is powerful. It's powerful. And his power shows up. I don't even want to know what my wife just said right there. Everybody that sits around her always says, you know, she talks while you preach. Sometimes I find out from her, and sometimes I find out. It's so fun. Oh, to be her. Not really. Listen, the power of his love shows up in our lives in the midst of love. You know, sometimes we ask as the church, why don't we see more miracles? Why don't we see this and that? I just wonder if it's not because we're not loving each other. God says this. Listen to this. I'll give you power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In Romans, he says this. The love of God is poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Wow. You know what I've learned to connect? His power and his love. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have love, his love being poured out. And without the Holy Spirit, you'll never know his power. Because I believe his power is manifested through his love. Yeah. This is why John can be bold. If you love your brothers, you love God. The identifying mark, if you do not love your brothers, you remain in death. Well, I love everybody but one. Sorry. How many know God loves everybody? Aren't you glad of that? Hey, amen. There's no A team or B team or D or C or F. It's love. God loves us all. Thank you, Jesus. And hating your brother in this scripture and in all of the scripture is equivalent to murder. And murderers do not have eternal life. Hate and darkness come from the lack of knowledge of God. But when you know his knowledge, love shows up. Amen. In 1 John 3:16, listen to this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Glory to God. You know what that means? Love is the volunteering of oneself for the sake of another. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus says this. No greater friend hath anyone than him that is willing to lay down his life for the other. Praise God. Amen. There's a beautiful story in the Old Testament. I don't even have time to tell you. Maybe you can talk about it in your small groups. And maybe you can look at it up. It's David and Mephibosheth. David had become king. And typically when kings became kings in the Old Testament, they just killed all the other family line. They just killed all the other threats to their throne. And David's asked this question. Is there anyone from the house of Saul? Because everybody thinks he wants to take them all out. Do you understand? And they say, there is this one, Mephibosheth. He's lame in both feet. And David says, send him, bring him to me. You're going to eat at my table the rest of your life. I'm going to restore to you all the land your father ever had. Oh, man, that is not what Mephibosheth expected. Mercy and love. The same is true with my life and your life. When you encounter his love, you know it's something beyond what you ever experienced in your entire life. Sit at my table. You're going to be with me forever. Hallelujah. This is loving boldly. Love one another. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says this, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. So let me ask you a question. When you show up, does peace show up? You know, I know some people, when they show up, it ain't peaceful. I don't want to be that person. Because why? When you pass from darkness to light, there's love. And when you show up, peace. 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 The world needs a lot of peace right now. Needs a lot of peace. Look at what he says. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When you show up, are you bringing life? Do your words create life or death? Do your words create? What are your words doing? God, help me to be gentle in my speech. Help me to be kind. Help me be considerate.